How many of you worry? Don't raise your hand. I know you do. But we all worry, don't we? Look in your Bible at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25. Jesus just says a lot about worry. As a matter of fact, three times he tells us in this passage of Scripture, he commands us not to worry. As we read this, I want you to think about your life. I want you to look at your life and just see how God can bless your heart. Therefore, I say to you, starting in verse 25, do not worry, a command from God, about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, as we've assembled ourselves here, Lord, to listen to you speak to our hearts. May we do just that. May we close out everything that might interfere with your word and focus on you, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts, for there's many of us here today, we do worry. And Lord, when we worry about things that do not add to our life, but take away. And God, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Jesus says three times here, do not worry about food, clothes, or tomorrow. Jesus says not to worry, and guess what? That's exactly what we do, don't we? Jesus says, listen, you don't have to worry about food, you don't have to worry about clothes, you don't have to worry about tomorrow, and yet we fret about tomorrow. We all do that. I heard a man said one time he worried so much that the hair fell out of his wig. That's pretty worrying, pretty hard. And then I heard a man some time ago, he hired a man to worry for him. He said, man, I'm going to pay you a good wage to worry for me. And he said, well, how much? And he said, I'm paying you $100,000 a year to worry for me. And he said, where do you get that kind of money? He said, I don't. That's your first worry. Jesus says, don't worry. Blessed are ye, happy are ye, when you don't worry. You know that word worry? It means to literally pull apart, as we were pulling apart something. Worry means to tear apart. It is exactly opposite of peace. The word peace means to put together or bring together. Worry to pull apart, peace to bring together. You see, worry, when you worry, it affects your mind, it affects your life, it affects your nervous system, it affects the circulation in your body. So no wonder Jesus says, listen, don't worry about your clothes, don't worry about the food, don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't do that. Why? I always wanted to know why. Daddy would say, sometimes it's none of your business. You just do what I tell you to do. And let me worry about it. I said, okay. You know, he would say, it's like this. It's senseless to worry, isn't it? It's senseless. Look at verse 25 and 26. Jesus appeals to our logic. You see, we have an incorrect view of what life really is, don't we? We think about life in different ways, but the root point of verse 25, it says, therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you put on your body. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You see, life begins at, the Bible tells us, at conception. And it is God who is the creator of life. Everything about life, God creates. That's one reason I stand against abortion, because God creates life and we have no right, to believe, to terminate His creation. That didn't cost you nothing. I just threw that in there. But I believe God is the creator. And if He is able to create our body and bring our body into existence, guess what? It's a walk in the park for Him to take care of us. It's no problem to let God take care of your life. If He created you, and He did, if He made the world and the universe, and He did, if He spoke it into being, and He did, He knows everything about you, and He does, don't you think that God can take care of your life and your needs? It's senseless then to worry about what's going to be put on the body, what's going to be put in the body, and what you're going to wear, He says. We don't have to worry about those things. The Bible says there's more to life than these things. And God is the creator of all of those things. Everything. I like it in John where he says God has made everything. Not anything that you see is made without God. And God is able to take care of every need that you have in life. Do you really believe that? I do. And I believe it's senseless to worry, because that's an incorrect approach to the view of life. If we're going to worry about life altogether, you can't get anything done if you worry about life. Now in verse 26, Jesus says, behold the fowls of the air. Look at these fowls of the air. They don't worry. Besides, will it add any inches to your height? It is simply, he's saying, it is simply useless to worry. Now, back when we were young and having our family, and we'd bought our house, started out, and had our first son, I never will forget. How many of you ever marked the door? Maybe I'm the only one. Oh, I see some hands go up. You know, you put your child up against that door, 21 inches tall. Second grade, 9 foot tall. No. We just kept marking Eric. Eric was our firstborn. And, you know, between the seventh and eighth grade, he jumped about that much. I don't know what happened to him. I never will forget, I bought him size 8 shoes at the beginning of the summer, and at the end of the summer, he was wearing 11. And I said, man, how did you wear those 8s all that time? He said, well, I didn't complain about it. I just wore them. I felt sorry for the boy. He was having to curl his toes way up in his shoes. But, you know, we marked the door, and we watched his height. Now, what is it? God makes you so tall. Some of us are tall, some of us are short, and some of us are real short. Dan? But let me tell you something. It doesn't add anything to your life if you want to worry about how tall you're going to be, does it? No, just be happy with who you are. God created you that way. He made you that way. You know, I heard some people, man, I can't stand being short. I can't stand being so tall. You know, it's God who's in charge of your life. It's not worrying about how tall you are or how short you are. It's not going to add anything to your life. So why worry about that? Oh, I met a man the other day. He was skinny as a rail, and I was not as skinny as a rail. And he told me, he said, oh, I'm just too fat. And I looked at him and said, brother, you're making fun of me. He said, don't you worry that you're going to have a heart attack one of these days? And I said, me? Worry about a heart attack? Worry causes heart attacks. He said, man, I'm worrying. I'm too fat. I said, don't worry. You turn sideways. I can't see you. Man, he's so slender, and yet he's worrying about being too fat. And I thought, how in the world can't you be happy with who you are? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to exercise and add some days to your life, but it probably won't. You know, you're going to live so long, and that's it. When God gets ready for you, he's going to call you. I believe that. But I know you can shorten your time by worry. You see, worry causes all kinds of problems in your life. Worry, the Bible says, is senseless. It's not good logic. It's useless to worry about those things. And yet, you know, we're a society that worries and worries and worries. We worry about taxes. We worry about finances. We worry about where we're going to work. We worry about what we're going to eat. We don't have those problems here, do we? But yet we worry all the time. And Jesus not only says, listen, worry is useless, worry is senseless, but it's also faithless. He says in verse 30, O ye of little faith. He's talking to his disciples here, and he says, listen, when you worry about everything, you have very little faith in me. Don't you know that I'm going to take care of you? You know, your Father. And then he gives us a word from nature again, the birds and the flowers, and he says, look at the lilies. We planted some lilies Thursday. God took them last night. That's the way my flowers go. I told y'all one time, if I plant something, it's going to die. I guarantee you. But he says, consider the lilies. You know, perhaps the flowers, how beautiful they are. And man, they are beautiful. Learn from them, he says. Solomon. You know who Solomon was? Wisest man and richest man. Had all the glory of the gold and anything he wanted. When he wore his clothes, they were royal robes and things like that. He spared no expense because it didn't matter to him. But God says even Solomon, in all his fine apparel and dress, couldn't match one of God's lilies of the field. And if God takes care of the lilies of the field, and he does, why are you worrying about yourself? Don't you know that God can take care of you? And then he goes on to something as simple as the grass of the field. Now he says, the grass of the field, God created it. Every bit of it's God's. And you know what? It's here today and the sun burns it up tomorrow. It's gone. And if God spends such time to design something like the grass that's here for a short time, how much more will he take care of you? Don't you see that you're worth more to God than the grass of the field, and God created that. Now you think about it. Your child, don't you want your child to have something nice? Don't you want them to stand out? As parents, we do. Oh, I watch your faces sometimes when your kid comes up here. You're so proud of them. And you ought to be. You ought to be. Now, don't you think you're going to take care of those children? Yes, you are. Well, you're a child of God if you've been born again into the kingdom of God. Don't you think God wants to take care of his children? I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior years ago. My soul belongs to God. I trust that he will give me eternal life when I die and go to heaven because of his word. I trust that he's going to take care of all my needs here on this earth because he says he will. And if we worry about that, well, am I going to have enough to eat? Am I going to have enough to wear? Am I going to have this and that? Then we're putting our faith in saying, Lord, I don't believe that you're going to help me out here. And Jesus says, O ye of little faith, if he saved you, and he did, if you've been born again, man, don't you know that he's going to take care of your needs? See how silly it is to worry, Jesus says. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Do not worry. Therefore, do not worry. You see, God commands it. Don't worry. For all of the things, he says, the Gentiles seek. Now, what does that mean? All these things the Gentiles seek. That's another way of saying all these things lost seek. They consider the Gentiles lost. And he says, don't you know that the lost people seek food and clothing and shelter? And if you get all worried about these material things in life, you're acting just like a lost person. The only real reason we worry is if you're a lost person. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to worry. Because I tell you what, the Bible says the end for you is not very good. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today he says, come to him. Seek those things of God. Now, if we live in a day when it's not enough to just don't do something, we look at the Lord and we say, well, Lord, why not? Why not worry? Jesus says, don't worry about these things. And our natural thought is, why not? And he gives us the answer for the why nots. He says, listen, but first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. He's throwing a cure for the worry in your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not saying that I don't worry. I do worry. I fail God sometimes. But, you know, I'm just as normal as you are. We all sometimes get to worrying about something. But God says when they do, it's useless. It's faithless. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, if you want to get anxious about something, get busy to seeing that Jesus Christ is first in your life. Now, have you thought about that? Be concerned about God's honor. Be concerned about God's glory. Put him first in your life. Jesus says, listen, don't worry, but seek me first in your life. When you seek me first, he says, then Christ becomes the center of your attention. And everything you do focuses on Jesus Christ. Get caught up by putting Jesus Christ first in your life. You know, when you put Christ first in your life, you don't worry so much, do you? No. I found that when you're always doing something for Christ, You don't have to worry. You're enjoying life. You're enjoying the things of life. That's what that word seek means. Let your work become the very center of your attention. Let Christ, get caught up in Christ. Jesus says, in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, you know, that's a great place to get started, isn't it? In the beginning, God. Now, if you put God in charge of your life, if you put God in charge of your marriage, if you put God in charge of your family, when you get into trouble, God is right there in the center of all those things with you. But if you do not put God first in your marriage, if you do not put God first in your family, if you do not put God in charge of your life, then guess what? When troubles come your way, you'll find yourself falling into temptation, and just like Adam, you'll get kicked out of the garden. You see, that's when the problems come, when we do not put Christ first in our life. Jesus says all these things, and he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Just put me first. Let me tell you something. The future, let it be the future. Let it be the future. If you don't want to worry about tomorrow, just let tomorrow take care of itself. Have you ever found yourself worrying about tomorrow? We all get caught up, man, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do? And it builds up anxiety. You know, if I look back on my sleep chart, I have some sleep problems, and they give me a chart. I got a chart that tracks how I sleep. I can look at Saturday night. Saturday night's one of my worst nights. Why? Sunday comes. My mind is thinking about tomorrow already. My mind's in gear for the Sunday service. And guess what? I don't sleep too good on Saturday night. Monday night, guess what? Sleep like a baby. Found my chart says Saturday night, bad, Sunday night. I was talking to my friend, Brother Rocky. He came over, he's having some sleep problems too, and he came over to the house the other day and sat down and says, oh man, you don't sleep good either, do you? I said, no, I don't. And he said, I don't sleep good either, especially. Look at Saturday, it's the same as mine, you know. I'll pray for him today. He's at Jack and Jane Hospital in Tyler. He's going to have some heart work done this week. So pray for Brother Rocky. Let me tell you, we worry, we worry, we worry. And Jesus says, you know, you get all anxiety built up in your life, and half the time it doesn't even come about. Let me tell you, you make a list of the things you're worried about, and you keep that list and keep it, and later I'll go back and check it. I'll tell you what, most of the things never happen that you worry about. Have you ever thought about that? If you live long enough, something is going to happen that's bad in your life. That's just part of life. Life throws us some curves sometimes. But why, he says, why spoil today when you can have joy and victory today? Why spoil today worrying about the future? Don't put all the yesterday shortfalls into today. Some people are always bringing up, preacher, you just don't know about my past. Well, don't tell me. It doesn't make any difference. It's what you are today. When God saved you, he washed the past away. Don't drag it into the day. Let it be the past. Oh, we're always worrying. Don't worry about it. God says you are forgiven. The only one who's going to drag it up is the devil. So just don't worry about it. Say, get behind me, Satan. Forget about the past. Don't worry about the future. All you have to deal with is today. And here is a promise from God. Hebrews 4:16 says that God gives us grace to help in the time of need. Did you listen to that? They sang, played a while ago. I don't know if you know that song. It's one of my favorite songs. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. I heard a lady was praying one day, and she said, oh, I just pray God will give me dying grace. I started to say, man, are you dying? No. She wasn't dying. Well, God's not going to give you dying grace in the future for today. His grace is right now, every single day. You don't need grace for tomorrow. You need grace for today, and take God's word for it. He says that he gives us grace to help in times of need. You see, God promises daily grace. You don't need it for yesterday. You don't need it for tomorrow. All you need it for is today, one day at a time. You live for the day. Trust God today for the grace today, and don't worry about tomorrow. I can tell you why. The same God that gives you grace for today, he'll be around tomorrow to give you grace for tomorrow. If you'll just trust him, his compassions are new, the Bible says, every morning. Our God is faithful. Did you know that? Our God is faithful. Jesus says in the Word of God, live a day at a time. Put me first. And let the future be the future. Can you do that? Don't worry. It's senseless. It's useless. And Jesus says it's faithless. Let him take care. And let him guide you. Let him give you his grace for today. You see, all we have to do is focus on Christ. He says, seek me first. The kingdom of God, and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then in the last verse 34, he says, therefore, like someone said, that therefore is to look back. Therefore, on behalf of what I have said, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Let God's grace work for your life today. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to come to him. He says in his word, I have given my son on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. Every sin, past, present, and future, has been taken care of. God knows your life. He knows if you want to trust him, if you want to turn your life around, you've got to come to him. And simply by faith, trust him. I've had people say, well, preacher, you just don't know how bad I've been. Let me clean up my life, and then I'll come to him. You'll never come to him that way. He don't want you to clean up your life. He wants you to come just as you are. Because you can't clean your life up. It has to be God changing you. So if you want Christ to come into your life, you want to receive him as Lord and Savior, then you come simply by faith saying, hey, I want salvation, God's free gift. I want to turn my life around. And God will hear your call, hear your prayer, and start turning your life around. You're not going to be perfect. Don't worry about being perfect. I just told you I wasn't perfect. We all sin, but we don't want to live that way. We want God to get honor and glory out of our lives. So would you come this morning if you've never been saved, simply trusting Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here today and you need to just start over in your walk. You've been away from God and you want to get back close to God. You don't need to be saved again. If you've been saved, you just need to come down here, the Bible says, and ask God to clean your life up and ask Him to recommit your life to Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home and this is the place God has led you. Let me tell you, I would love to have you. This church would love to have you. But God wants you to work for Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much today for this opportunity to trust You as our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we do worry, and Lord, we fall short. I thank You for Your forgiveness, that You forgive us. And Lord, if our mind is always in anxiety about what's tomorrow and the future, let us remember Your words that we're to seek You first, focus on You today, and let the tomorrow be tomorrow, for Your grace is sufficient to meet all our needs today. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, if there's someone that needs to make a decision, that they'll come. And we'll give You the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.